Podcast Network Asia.
What's up? Welcome to the courtroom.
I am Theo.
And I'm Oj. And in this podcast, we tell stories about people's life, liberty, and property.
Kukwentohan namin kayo about court rulings in a way that will make you understand jurisprudence like a 9-year-old.
All persons before the honor, Supreme Court of Justice, just give an attention for the court.
So join us as we delve into true crime, political controversies, and all things Tara de Chismis every week.
Theo, alam mo kung ano yung oldest profession?
Well, sabi nila prostitution kasi biblical times meron na daw. Pero feeling ko talaga ang oldest profession ano eh, mamot groomer.
May ganon?
Oh, yung bubrush mo yung fur ng mga mamot. Ganyan.
Ang saya.
I know.
Ang creative mo. Pero mabalik tayo sa prostitution.
Ayoko na nun. Mamot na lang ulit.
After ng case, pag-usapan natin yan. Anyway, di ba madalas ka sa red light district? So...
Hoy! San yun? Grabe siya. Di ako madalas dun, no?
Hindi, kasi di ba dun ka nag-work dati?
Hoy, nako! Och! Pinalala mo pa, isipin ng mga courtmates natin kung ano trabaho ko. Doon lang po located yung workplace ko dati. Pero ako po ay isang wholesome na mamamayan, promise.
Defensive. Pero yun nga, since exposed ka sa red light district, since nadadaanan mo yan dati, tingin mo ba it's just proper for the LGU to displace these sexual workers for the purpose of cleaning the streets? And by cleaning, meaning to cleanse the streets of immorality.
Well, it depends. Do I see it as immoral? What my belief is kasi might not be kung ano yung stand ng LGU o nung nakaupo doon. Pero, sige, let's look at it as work or livelihood nila. Okay lang ba na bigla silang tanggalan ng trabaho or tirahan dahil immoral daw, quote and unquote, sila?
Well, alamin natin ang stand ng Supreme Court dyan as we tell you the story of a 1918 mayor of the city of Manila who ordered the deportation of 170 quote-unquote ill-repute women to Davao City, Mindanao.
This is the case of Zacarias Villavicencio versus Mayor Justo Lucban.
For a number of years, the city of Manila permitted a segregated district for women of ill repute. However, during the time of Justo Lucban as mayor of the city of Manila, he sought to exterminate evil or immorality, he claims for the best of all reasons. To do so, the women were kept confined to their houses in the district by the police from October 16 to October 25, 1918.
Nung time na to, the city authorities quietly arranged with the Bureau of Labor para mapadala yung mga women sa Davao, Mindanao at doon maging laborers or workers sila. Nakipag-arrange din sila sa iba pang government office para magamit ang barkong Corregidor at Negros at pati na din sa constabulary para mabigyan sila ng mga soldiers for security.
So about midnight of October 25, sa utos ng Chief of Police, si Anton Homan at Mayor Lucban, pinuntahan ng mga polis yung sinasabing mga ill-repute women sa mga bahay nila. Umabot ng mga 170 inmates ang dinampot at later on sinakay sa barko.
We better know these women today as prostitutes, but since women of ill repute ang tawag sa kanila sa case na to, we'll stick to that. So, yun nga, dinampot na lang sila bigla to the point na hindi man lang sila nabigyan ng opportunity to collect their belongings kasi ang akala nila dadalhin lang sila sa police station for investigation. Di naman nila akalain na sa Mindanao na pala sila mamumuhay.
Yes, kasi walang tanungan na nangyari. Hindi man lang hiningi yung consent nila. Sinakay na lang sila dun sa barko kung saan may kasama silang representative ng Bureau of Labor at mga constabulary soldiers. And that's it. The two steamers, Corregidor and Negros, with their unwilling passengers, sailed for Davao during the night of October 25.
After 4 days ng paglalayag, dumating na din sila sa Davao. They were received as laborers by Francisco Sales, the provincial governor of Davao, and by the hacendero Feliciano Iñigo and Rafael Castillo. Though hindi naman alam ni Gov at ng mga hacenderos na yung mga babaeng dinala sa Davao were prostitutes who have been expelled from the city of Manila.
And after some time then, nagka-jowa na din sila, at least yung iba, dun sa Davao. And some of them got married pa. Others went to work in different capacities. Yung iba pa, hindi na alam kung nasa na. And may mga women naman na nakahanap ng way to return to Manila.
Siyempre, hindi naman pwedeng basta-basta maglaho na lang sila na parang bula. Ang mga naiwan nilang family and friends, of course, finds a way to bring the deportees back home in Manila. They filed for an application for habeas corpus to the Supreme Court.
Nakalagay sa application yung salient facts na nangyari. And it also alleged that those women were illegally restrained of their liberty by Mayor Lucban. Pati na rin si Chief of Police Homan and by certain unknown parties. Yung city fiscal na nagrepresent sa respondents kaila Lucban and Homan admitted certain facts about nga doon sa sequestration and deportation. And syempre, they prayed that the writ should not be granted. Bakit nga ba hindi dapat i-grant yung writ of habeas corpus?
Kasi sabi ng city fiscal, hindi daw proper parties sa case yung mga petitioners, which are the friends and relatives nga ng mga deported women. Saka dapat daw yung case nag-start sa court of first instance sa Davao, Department of Mindanao and Sulu, since wala naman na daw sa custody or control nila Lucban and Homan yung mga babae. And yung jurisdiction nila hanggang Manila lang. It does not extend beyond its boundaries.
According pa dun sa exhibit na naka-attach sa answer ng fiscal, yung 170 women were destined to be laborers na meron namang magandang sweldo dun sa mga hasyendas ni Inigo and Governor Sales. Although, inadmit naman ni fiscal na these women had been sent out of Manila without their consent.
Sa pilitang work just because malaki ang sagot. No, 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 no way. And so, on November 4, the court gave an order which awarded the writ. Mayor Lucban of Manila, Chief Homan, Governor Sales of Davao, and si Inigo, yung hasyendero sa Davao, were given until December 2, 1918. So, parang that's almost a month, to bring before the court those women who were allegedly deprived of their liberty.
So, nagrant na pala yung application for a writ of habeas corpus. Eh di okay na.
Supposedly, pero syempre may continuation pa. Alam mo naman tayo, ang hiling natin sa mahabang case eh.
Bakit nga ba?
Ewan ko, bakit ha? Yan yung mga nare-request ng courtmates natin eh.
Anyway, anyhow. Share ko lang, before the date mentioned, 7 of the women had already returned to Manila at their own expense. So, dumating na nga yung deadline ng mga respondents to produce and iharap sa court yung mga tao or women in whose behalf the writ was issued. Kaso, wala ni isa sa mga tao na yun ang na-present nila sa court. Yung mga nakabalik sa Manila through their own efforts, 3 doon, ni-notify lang ng mga police para mag-appear before the court, so walang effort si mayor doon.
Sabi nung fiscal, okay naman na daw yung buhay ng mga women sa Mindanao and they did not wish to return to Manila as shown in the affidavit he's offering. Sabi naman ni Governor Sales, hindi daw possible to fulfill the order of the Supreme Court because the women had never been under his control. Malaya daw sila sa Davao at nakapagpakasal na nga yung iba or nag-sign ng contract as laborers. Ganon din yung defense ni Inigo na he did not have any of the women under his control, kaya impossible for him to obey the mandate.
Nako, paano yan? Pwede ba yun? Hindi mo susundin yung order ng court?
Mamaya natin sagutin yan, Ocha. Tuloy muna natin yung kwento. Diba, December 2 yung deadline nila na ibalik yung mga babae. Kaso, wala naman silang naipababalik from Davao. So, nung December 10, nag-promulgate ng second order yung court. Sabi doon, since di nga nag-comply yung mga respondents with the original order to the satisfaction of the court, nor explained their failure to do so, Lucban, Homan, Sales, and Inigo were once again directed na dalhin yung mga ill-repute women nga or mga deportees na naiwan sa Davao before January 13, 1919. So may bago silang palugit.
Unless, syempre, voluntarily na magbigay ng written statements yung mga women renouncing their right before the judge or the clerk of court of first instance dun sa Davao. Or pwede din magpakita yung mga respondents ng other legal motives that made the compliance impossible. So, na-comply na ba nila yung second order ng court?
Well, come January 13, and this time, nakapagbalik naman sa Manila ang mga respondents ng mga 8 women. Eh diba 170 nga yung body count. Kaya daw 8 lang yung napabalik kasi yung 81 women daw renounced the right through sworn statements. 59 of those had already returned to Manila by other means, and yung 26 sa kanila, despite all efforts to find them, unfortunately, hindi na sila malocate.
Okay, pero di ba grinant na ng court yung writ of habeas corpus? Though hindi pa nila in-explain yung reason for granting the same.
In-explain niya ng Supreme Court sa final decision nila. So, let's recall the facts. Kasi di ba, these 170 women were isolated from society. And then, at night, without their consent and without any opportunity to consult with friends or to defend their rights, they were forcibly hustled on board steamers for transportation to regions unknown. In attempt naman ng respondents na iprove na the women daw left voluntarily and gladly. Pero kontra daw yung facts kasi kung voluntary yan, bakit kailangan pa yung presence ng police or ng constabulary? And these officers of the law choose the shade of the night to cloak their secrets and stealthy acts.
I see. Pero meron pa silang nire-resolve na question in connection sa pag-issue ng writ of habeas corpus. Yung question is, by authority of what law did the mayor and the chief of police presume to act in deporting by jures these persons from Manila to another distant locality within the Philippine Islands? Meron bang law na nagbibigay sa kanila ng authority to do that? Simply deport women in another locality?
Wala actually. There is no law, order, or regulation which even hints at the right of the mayor of the city of Manila or the chief of police of that city to force citizens to change their domicile from Manila to another locality. Kahit pa sabihin mo ill-repute women pa yan or prostitutes. They, as Philippine citizens, are protected by the same constitutional guarantees as other citizens.
Tama. Actually, the Philippine Penal Law specifically punishes any public officer who, not being expressly authorized by law or regulation, compels any person to change his residence. Hindi ka pwede basta ipatapon na lang sa kung saan or pilitin ka na lumipat basta-basta. Lalo na kung wala namang law na nag-authorize sa ganong action. Kahit pa Governor General of the Philippine Islands yan or even the President of the United States, which during this time or during that time kasi sakop pa tayo ng US, they have no such arbitrary prerogative either inherent or express, lalo na syempre yung mayor na nag-a-act lang siya within a sphere of delegated powers.
Sabi ng court, kahit praiseworthy pa ang motive nila or goals nila, if the mayor and the chief of police be allowed na i-deprive ang liberty ng isang citizen at their mere behest, then para mo na ding pinayagan yung mga presidents and chief of police of 1,000 other municipalities of the Philippines to have the same privilege. Kung hahayaan natin tong mga official na to take such powers to themselves, then any other officials can do the same. And if any other officials can exercise that power, then lahat na lang ng tao would have just as much right to do so. So kung iisipin mo, if a prostitute could be sent against her wishes and under no law to transfer from one locality to another within the country, then the officialdom can hold the same club over the head of any citizens.
Tama. The court reiterates nga that law defines power. And under the Magna Carta, it states that, to quote, "No free man shall be taken or imprisoned or be deceased of his freehold or liberties or free customs or be outlawed or exiled or any otherwise destroyed, nor will we pass upon him nor condemn him but by lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. We will sell to no man, we will not deny or defer to any man either justice or right." And syempre, kahit gaano pa sila kataas, no official is above the law. All this explains the motive of the court in issuing the writ of habeas corpus.
Pero Odge, kanina pa natin binabanggit yung habeas corpus . Ano nga ba muna to?
Well, pinost na natin yan in advance sa ating FB page, ang definition ng habeas corpus, to give our listeners an advance overview on what it is. But generally, yung habeas corpus kasi isa siya sa mga remedies of an unhappy victim of official oppression. Bukod doon, pwede din mag-institute yung victim ng civil action for money damages or criminal action. The writ of habeas corpus is recognized as the best and only sufficient defense of personal freedom kasi it was devised as a speedy and effectual remedy to relieve persons from unlawful restraint. Yung principal purpose ng writ of habeas corpus is to set the individual at liberty, meaning palayain ka.
Okay, sabihin na natin na habeas corpus nga yung proper remedy. Pero merong 3 specific objections na ni-raise si Lokban with regards to issuance of the said writ.
Na-mention nga natin yun kanina. Ano-ano nga ba yun ulit?
Well, 1, meron daw defect yung doon sa parties kasi yung petitioners are not the women themselves but their relatives and friends. 2, the Supreme Court should not assume jurisdiction kasi nga, 'di ba, dapat daw sa Court of First Instance of Davao daw mag-start yung case. And syempre, lastly, yung 3rd, hindi naman daw restrained yung liberty ng mga women, saka yung jurisdiction daw ng mayor and the chief of police of Manila only extend to the city limit. So, hindi talaga nila madadala yung women galing Davao.
Dun sa first defense, sabi ng court, since we're talking about personal liberty here, kahit wala pang application na isubmit sa kanila, yung law natin even makes it the duty of a court or judge to grant a writ of habeas corpus if there's evidence that within the court's jurisdiction, a person is unjustly imprisoned or restrained of his liberty. In short, petitioners had standing in court.
Tama. Yung sa second defense naman ng respondents about jurisdiction, sagot ng Supreme Court, it is a general rule of good practice daw that petitions for habeas corpus should be presented to the nearest judge of the court of first instance to avoid unnecessary expenses and inconvenience. But this is not a hard and fast rule. Yung writ of habeas corpus may be granted by the Supreme Court or any judge thereof enforceable anywhere in the Philippines. Discretion na ng Supreme Court whether the writ shall be made returnable before it or before any inferior court or lower court. And of course, nakadepende din yun sa particular circumstances of the case.
Then, dun sa last argument ng fiscal about restraining the liberty of women and the jurisdiction of the Manila mayor and the chief of police, sabi dito ng court, the acceptance of such is found to be perversive of the first principles of the writ of habeas corpus. Meaning, pag tinanggap mo yun, kinokorrupt mo yung meaning ng writ na to.
Kasi 'di ba, yung application for writ of habeas corpus regards the restraint of liberty. The essential object of the writ is to inquire into all matters of involuntary restraint as distinguished from those that is considered voluntary restraint. And its purpose is para ma-relieve yung person if such restraint is illegal. And di lang to yung basta bilanggo kind of type of restraint na usually naiisip natin when the word restraint when we hear the word restraint. This encompasses lahat ng klase ng restraint that will prevent one's freedom of action.
So yung forcible taking of those women from Manila by officials of that city and basta sila pinadala sa isang distant region that deprived them of freedom of locomotion, which is as if parang in-imprison ka na din. They were placed in Davao nang wala silang pera or personal belongings. They were prevented from exercising the liberty of going when and where they pleased. And yung restraint of liberty which began in Manila continued until they were returned to Manila and released or until they freely and truly waived their right.
Kasi ano na lang mangyayari kung tatanggapin natin yung third argument nila Lokban. Ibig sabihin yung mayor of any municipality in the Philippines could forcibly and illegally take a private citizen, papadala nila beyond the boundaries ng municipality. Tapos pag question mo, sasabihin na lang nila, the person was under no restraint and that they do not have jurisdiction over these other municipalities. Kasi nga, wala daw sa boundary ng mga cities nila.
Kaya sabi ng SC, the true principle should be that if Lokban and his cohorts is within the jurisdiction of the court and has it in his power to obey the order of the court and thus to undo the wrong that he has inflicted, he should be compelled to do so. Kahit ba yung party to whom the writ is addressed has illegally parted with the custody of a person before the application for the writ, hindi siya valid reason to deny the writ.
tama. And if yung mayor or chief of police, acting under no authority of the law, could deport these women from the city of Manila to Davao, they must necessarily have the same means to return them from Davao to Manila. Hindi natin pwedeng hayaan na lang na i-restrain yung liberty ng kapwa Pilipino natin by forcing her to change her residence. Wala man lang siyang nagawa. Sabi nga ng court, the great writ of liberty may not be easily evaded.
So, both on reason and authority, wala daw sa mga defense offered by Lucban and other respondents constituted a legitimate bar to the granting of the writ of habeas corpus.
To talagang si Lucban and friends mga pasaway.
Sabi mo pa.
Anyhow, baka kasi curious yung mga courtmates natin. If na-contempt ba sila Lucban? Kasi 'di ba, may doubt if na-comply ba nila yung dalawang orders ng Supreme Court. Kasi if hindi, possible na ma-contempt sila.
Meron naman daw substantial compliance, sabi ng SC, at least in the second order, since Lucban and others have become more zealous and have shown better spirit in complying. Now, if meron pa din individual na restrained yung liberty, it can be made daw the object of separate habeas corpus proceedings.
Though yung attorney ng petitioners asked the court to find in contempt of the court, Mayor Lucban and all others involved in the deportation. Pero sabi ng SC, the power to punish for contempt of court should be exercised on the preservative, hindi siya vindictive principle.
So, hindi palagi ini-invoke ng court yung inherent power niya na to. Occasionally lang in order to retain that respect for the court. Kasi pag wala yun, the administration of justice will fail. Pero pag nag-order sila to produce a certain person tapos di ka sumunod at wala ka naman na offer na valid excuse, syempre, to vindicate its authority, a court must declare them to be guilty of contempt and must order them either imprisonment or fine. Kasi an officer's failure to produce the body of a person in obedience to a writ of habeas corpus when he has power to do so is a contempt committed in the face of the court. So, sa case na to, na-contempt nga ba sila, Teo?
Given all the facts and circumstances, and kinonsider din naman ng court yung human imperfections. So, isa lang naman daw talaga yung nag-disobey sa court at umakto in opposition of its authority. Gusto mo bang hulaan ko sino? Sino dun sa Lucban and Friends?
Si Justo Lucban, the mayor of the city of Manila. Tama ba?
Ay, corny, nulaan agad.
Siyempre, binasa ko din yung case, so alam ka na.
Sige, so, but si mayor lang ang na-contempt?
Kasi daw, si Mayor Lucban, yung official who was primarily responsible for the unlawful deportation of those 170 women. Siya yung nagbigay ng utos dun sa mga police to accomplish the task. Siya yung nag-arrange for the steamers and the constabulary. And siya din yung nag-negotiate with the Bureau of Labor. And later on, as the head of the city government, he had within his power to facilitate the return of the unfortunate women to Manila. Although, sabi ng SC, his intention naman daw to suppress the social evil was commendable, but his methods were unlawful. Tapos, reluctant and late pa niya in-acknowledge yung writ of habeas corpus na inisyo ng court.
Tama. Yung iba kasi, more on sumunod lang ng orders or damay lang talaga. So, the court held that no further action on the writ of habeas corpus is necessary. The respondents Homan, Rodriguez, Ordax, Joaquin, Enigo, and Diaz are found not to be in contempt of court, while respondent Mayor Lucban is found in contempt of court and shall pay a fine of 100 pesos.
In the end, the court answers the primary question, which is, shall the judiciary permit a government of men instead of a government of laws to be set up in the Philippine Islands?
And here the court answers, may we not be permitted to express the hope that his decision may serve to bulwark the fortification of an orderly government of laws and to protect individual liberty from illegal encroachment. Grabe, Och, ang exhaustive ng discussion ng Supreme Court sa case na to.
Oo nga, ewan ko kung may madadagdag pa akong insight sa case na to. Ah. Pero ikaw, ano masasabi mo, Teo?
Hindi, wala na ang haba. Ako, adjit ako kay Mayor eh.
Lagi ka namang adjit eh.
Oo nga. Kasi naman, once again, for the purpose of eliminating the vices in the city, babae na naman ang napagdiskitahan. women were once again targeted as if they were the root cause of immorality. I mean, I'm not condoning or rebuking prostitution. Ah. Naiintindihan ko na may conservatives and religious who deem the act of selling sexual favors as immoral. And syempre, on the other side, I also recognize din naman na para sa iba, mapababae o lalaki man, their body, their choice. It's not as if they are forcing themselves to people naman eh. Di ibig sabihin na nasa gantong linya sila ng trabaho, eh commodity na ang tingin nila sa mga katawan nila. Believe it or not, there are others who do it just for the sheer freedom and power that comes with it. Money is just secondary. Siguro ang gusto ko lang sabihin, itigil natin yung pagiging masyadong self-righteous. Walang monopolyo ang mabuti at magaling. Kung sinong politiko pa ang may hawak na ating pagkatao, pagkababae, karapatan at kalayaan. Sabi nga 'di ba dito sa case na to, law defines power and no one regardless of gender and position is above the law. Yan ang tandaan at panghawakan natin, courtmates, lalo na sa eleksyon na dagsa ang mga magtatangkang magmagaling kaysa sa batas.
Nice one.
O, di ba wala ko masyado insights.
Daming sinabi. Ako, I do not agree with the clean-up project ni Mayor. For me, given na immoral nga ang prostitution, I am not bluntly saying though that it is, but let's just say, hypothetically lang, it is. The mayor's response was kind of skewed from the problem since hindi niya talaga na-address yung root cause ng problema, which is most likely poverty. Kasi most sex workers, if not all, we have to do a fact check din kasi with regards to reasons for being in such kind of work. Sabi mo nga, pwedeng power, di ba? Anyway, most of them enters prostitution for them to afford their daily needs. So, parang yung sex work becomes a need for them even though they do not necessarily desire to be in that kind of job. So, this is a konla din and a challenge to our government officials for them to pinpoint the root cause of every social issue and respond not simply to what meets the eye, but the very source of the problem. Of course, this is not an easy task. Kasi it requires research talaga and a dialogue with experts and everything else. But putting a lot of work on this, the result will surely be worth it. Yun naman.
Well said. Pero ito, before we end, we just like to take this opportunity to shout out Arellano Law students. Grabe itong mga to, solid. Listeners and supporters natin sila, Oj, since day zero, since bago pa tayo mag-start. Wala pa tayong episode noon, teaser pa lang. Tapos sa pa lang yung post natin sa Facebook, pero nandyan na sila.
Nice.
So, thank you so much. Thank you, Arellano Law students.
And nagpapabati din pala si Philip Ortiz. Thank you for messaging us. Hi to you and to your son, Zach. And congratulations din sa newlyweds na si Billy J. Ortiz and Diane Buenaventura Ortiz.
Ang bongga ng mga courtmates natin. Super na-appreciate namin lahat ng messages nyo, guys. Ha? Lahat ng comments, request ng pagbate, request ng kaso, o kahit simpleng thumbs up lang. Seryoso, Oj, may mga nagme-message natin thumbs up lang or smiley. Pero lahat yan, we truly appreciate.
Thank you po, thank you. And before we forget, which of course I will not.
Hindi, lagot ka.
This case was a request by yung pinakamagandang best friend ko. With initials, GDV. Initials lang daw para pa-mysterious. Thanks, Besh. Coffee soon after ECQ.
We definitely want you to be a part of our show, courtmates. Share with us your insights on this case or let us know what cases you would like us to chika for our next episode.
If you guys like our podcast, please don't forget to subscribe for free on Spotify or wherever you're listening to right now. You can also watch the audiogram version of this podcast on Facebook and YouTube. Again, this is Oj
and Teo leaving you with a reminder to always look back in history because precedent shall rule the future.
Thank you for listening and we'll see you again in the courtroom.
Bye!
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.